Welcome to Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, I hope you are having a fabulous day as maybe you're driving into work or you're drinking that cup of coffee, whatever it might be. I hope it's a great day for you. We're going to dive into God's Word in just a few moments. But if you're enjoying Getting to Know Jesus, our series throughout the week, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're inside that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. Your monthly support makes all the difference in the world so that we can continue to work on our goal, which is to change the heart so that we can change the public square. And why are we changing the heart? Because we want to defend and advance biblical values in the public square, right? We want to defend and advance the word of God in the public square. In fact, we talk about this as a staff often. The only hope that we have for Washington is a changed and transformed heart. And so I am thankful that you're going on that journey with us. All right, let's dive in today into Luke chapter 7, and we're starting at the 18th verse. The disciples of John reported to him about all these things. Summoning two of the disciples, John sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else?" Okay, just to clarify, this is John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, Elizabeth's son, right? Zechariah's son. And he asks a question. Are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else? You may be sitting on your couch today, drinking your coffee, listening to this, or you may be driving in or whatever it might, your context might be, and you're not a believer in Jesus yet. This question is totally appropriate. Jesus, if you're real, if you're the expected one, show yourself to me. I can remember praying that prayer when I was a kid. When I was 19, I prayed that prayer and I said, "Lord, if you are real, show yourself to me." I didn't say you're the expected one or do we look for someone else, but you get the idea. So that is a perfectly okay question, asking Jesus to reveal himself to you. In fact, I think that's a journey of faith that maybe is worth going down. You say, "Well, I'm not a believer. I'm this or that. Why would I do that?" Well, I double dog dare you. I mean, if Jesus isn't real and if God isn't real, what will it hurt you to say by faith? You know, to say, "Hey, Jesus, if you're real, show yourself to me." At that very time, he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits, and he gave sight to many who were blind. And he answered and said to them, so this is the disciples of John, "Go and report to John what you have seen and heard." Now, for many of us, because we're not familiar with our Old Testament, we're not understanding that Jesus here is quoting the Old Testament. He's saying to John's disciples, "I am a fulfillment of the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament." When he says, quote, "The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who does not take offense at me." All right, so he quotes the Old Testament and he says, "Tell John, I'm a fulfillment of the prophecies about the blind, the lepers, the resurrection of the dead, and the poor getting the gospel message." Wow. And if you want to be blessed, he says, don't take offense at Jesus. Just do what he says. Obey Jesus. Wow, what a powerful truth. When the messengers of John had left, he began to speak to the crowd about John. "What do you go out into the wilderness to see? What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who are splendidly clothed and live in luxury are found in royal places. But what did you go out to see?" Okay, so he asks them this question three times to the crowd. He says, "What did you go out to see? What did you go out to see? What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and one who is more than a prophet. That is the one about whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you." Again, Jesus goes to the Old Testament and he says, I'm going to quote something to you. "I send a forerunner, a messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you." He's saying to the crowd, John the Baptist was the messenger ahead of him and was to call people to prepare the way for him. What did John do? He did exactly that. It's evidence of Jesus. "I say to you, among those born of women, there is no greater than John. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Now, oftentimes when we read these kind of quotes by Jesus, we're perplexed by them. He says, there's no one greater than John, yet least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. You may feel incredibly insignificant today. Maybe, you know, what group of people we're talking to is those that don't believe, and you need to say, God, show yourself to me. Jesus, show yourself to me. Another group of people may be, what are you looking for? You know, where do you go out to see? But we see this other group, it's like the least in the kingdom is greater than John. Be faithful today. Faithful to whatever God has for you to do today, to be his voice, to call people to repentance, to share the gospel message of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, appearance, and if anyone calls on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. Take the time to walk in what God has for you today. When all the people and the tax collectors heard this, they acknowledged God's justice, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. So look at this. The tax collectors heard this. They acknowledged the justice of God, and they were baptized by John. The Pharisees and the lawyers rejected God's purpose for themselves, not having been baptized by John. To what then shall I compare the men of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another and say, we played the flute for you, you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon. Okay, so he says, hey, Pharisees, lawyers, you're like the kids playing the flute, playing the dirge. You know, they don't dance, they don't weep. And John the Baptist comes to you and he doesn't eat and drink wine, and you say he has a demon. Then it says, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend to tax collectors and sinners. He says, he's basically saying, we can't win with you, you Pharisees and lawyers. Yet wisdom is vindicated by all her children. Now, one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. This is what I love about Jesus. To the tax collectors, to what was there any others that were named there? I think it's just when all the people and the tax collectors. So all the people and the tax collectors, Jesus dined with sinners. Okay. It says here that he dined with tax collectors and sinners, but Jesus also dined with the Pharisees. You know, oftentimes in the realm that we're living in, Washington, we have become so tribal and polarized that we're afraid to have dinner with someone else. I'm saying Jesus had dinner with the tax collectors and sinners. He had dinner with the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him, at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with her hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now, I can tell you, as a Westerner, as a U.S. citizen, this whole description is odd, right? Like, we're not used to people weeping and tears being on their feet and kissing feet and wiping our hair on them. It's totally non-customary to us. Now, when the Pharisees had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. So they didn't get upset about the cultural norm of weeping and kissing the feet and anointing his feet with perfume. They got upset with who the person is. And this is why I think this is so applicable to you and to me today. I think sometimes we look at people more by what party they are, how they voted, all these things, you know, and we weigh them and we just label them a sinner really, really quick. Instead of seeing the heart that was being displayed, you're in the process of being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm in the process of being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're all in process with God. Some of us have called on the name of the Jesus and we're saved. We're Christ followers. We want to do our best to live up to the word of God and to honor him according to his word. Others have suppressed the truth in unrighteousness and you're holding back on allowing God's truth to flow through your heart and through your mind. The reality is God's drawing the sinner, God's drawing the religious, and God is drawing the born again. So where are you at in all that today? Can you break down the judgment? Because everybody is in process. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have standards. It doesn't mean that we don't communicate standards. It doesn't mean that we don't share the word of God. It doesn't mean that we change them or coddle. I mean, if you know me, you know I don't do those things. But it does mean that we place hope for everyone. God wishes that none should perish, but all would come to repentance. Are you bringing that message of repentance today? I love John the Baptist's message. Behold, I send you messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Are we preparing the way of the Lord, saying, today is the day of salvation. Call on the name of Jesus and you will be saved. Turn from your sin and find mercy and grace in this season. That's what we need to have a heart for. And then as we disciple people and nurture people, love people, direct people, you know, into the word of God, the heart begins to change. And then some of those peripheral items will change as well. We'll begin to see people have a biblical worldview. We'll begin to see people have a conscience that aligns with the word of God and the truth of God's word. I just want to remind you, we're all in process. And make room for God to speak to your heart today. Truly, if you say, what is the gospel message? What is the good news? You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He paid the price. Confess him as Lord. Also believe that he was raised from the dead and you will be saved. Jesus, you are Lord. I'm a sinner. I believe that you paid the price on that cross for my sin. I believe that you conquered sin and death through the resurrection. Lord, save me. God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy and grace upon us. Lord, we have gotten so far off. God, we have suppressed your truth in unrighteousness. And we really have set it up that no matter how you respond to us, we are like these religious people who say, well, he has a demon, or well, he eats with sinners, or well, you know, we have all these excuses. God, would you remove our excuses? Would you remove the excuses in Governor Bob Ferguson, President Trump, Patty Murray, Maria Cantwell? God, would you remove any excuses that they may have in acknowledging that you are God God, let us learn from Jesus today what it means to dine with both those who are for us and those who are against us. God, we need you so very, very much. Lord, we recognize that our sin, my sin, put you on that cross. God, we need you. We lift up Michael Baumgartner. We lift up Suzanne Schmidt, Rob Chase, Leonard Christian. God, so many more. God, we lift up our elected officials. Would you give them divine wisdom? If they don't have salvation, give them salvation, God. Would they respond to you in repentance and change their hearts, oh God, from the inside out? We thank you for your goodness, mercy, and grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Now get out there and defend advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.